I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, is an Obama administration program to stem the tide of foreclosures doing more harm than good? Some critics suggest it is. We'll put that question to our money coach later in the program. But first, we are going to spend some time in Detroit. Many people are saying they are glad to put 2009 behind them. The residents of Detroit have any number of reasons to feel that way. 4 mayoral elections, skyrocketing unemployment, and all that goes with that, and a major city council scandal. But today marks a new day in Detroit history. In just a little while, the city council will meet for the first time this year, and among them will be 5 newly elected council members who say they want to be part of a new era in Detroit. Joining us now are 2 of those new members, the newly elected city council president, Charles Pugh, and city councilwoman Chantel Jenkins. They both join us from member station WDET. Congratulations to you. Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year, Michelle. Thank you for having us.
And I must say, I love you. I do. I listen to you every day. I've been watching you over the years, so I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you. That's a nice way to start the New Year off. So let me ask you both why you wanted to serve at a time like this. You both had successful careers in other areas. Charles, you were a television reporter. And Chantel, you were a social worker. Neither is an especially easy job, but has to be easier than running for office at a time like this. So, Charles, why don't you start? Why did you want to be in office at a time like this?
Well, I got tired of reporting on what was going wrong and not being part of the solutions. I was born and raised in this town. I love the city with all my soul, which was why I was serving as a journalist. I wanted to serve my community. And I just, you know, was watching the city council over the years and decided that, you know, I could do a better job. I could do a more competent, straightforward, a better representation of the people of the city of Detroit, of all people. So, you know, I ran and we did pretty good.
Chantel, what about you?
Well, you know, I used to be chief of staff for the former president of city council, the late Miriam Mahaffey, so I had seen it done well. And Miriam was also a social worker. One of the stories I always talk about is her telling me that social workers put Band-Aids on wounds caused by poor public policy. And as a social worker, watching all of the negativity go on at city council and the fact that the people's business was not being attended to, it just, you know, lit that fire in my belly.
Right. One of the arguments that your new mayor, well, not new, I mean, he was elected in a special election, then won a full term in a more recent election, Mayor Dave Bing, the former basketball great, says that in essence, these are my words, not his, that in essence, government leaders have been functioning there as if they are in denial about the realities on the ground. Here's a short clip from our most recent conversation with him. Here it is.
Detroit's been in a free fall in terms of loss of population for the last 10 to 20 years. And we haven't made the adjustments over on our revenue side, and our structural problems here in the city has not been addressed. So we've kept running the city as if we had 1.4 or 1.5 million residents, when in fact we're hovering around 900,000. So our revenue stream has dropped precipitously, and you know, we just haven't done what we should have done to have a balanced budget.
So I'm going to ask each of you, do you think that that's true, and what is to be done about that? Charles Pugh, I'll ask you first. Is that true, and what are you going to do about that?
I couldn't have said it better myself. And we need to encourage him. Our budget process has begun, and we need to encourage the mayor to make the necessary consolidations and eliminations. And if for some reason we don't see those in the budget we're presented with, I think that we are prepared to be bold and to propose them ourselves. Because, you know, we are at a critical time in our city where we have seen other cities recently here in our Metro Detroit area who have been taken over by receivers and who have emergency financial managers. Our school system is right now being run by an emergency financial manager. So, you know, our state is very clear that cities who cannot handle their own finances properly, then they'll send somebody in to do so, and we don't want that here.
Chantel, what about you? I mean, what that generally means is cutting services.
Absolutely, and I agree that we need to cut not only the size of city government, we have to cut the size of our residential areas in the city of Detroit. We're almost 140 square miles in the city of Detroit, built for 2 million people with less than 1 million. We have to bring our residents closer together, which will make it easier and cheaper to provide city services. And we have not started to move in that direction yet.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with two new members of the Detroit City Council, Charles Pugh, he's the city council president, and Santeel Jenkins, she's newly elected to the council. Also, today is their first day in office.
Yes, it is.
And you know, one of the interesting things about the election, there are a number of interesting aspects of the of this election. Charles, of course, you are the city's first openly gay political leader, a mm-hmm. milestone, certainly a milestone. And as I understand it, your sexual orientation was never made an issue of, at least not publicly in the course of the campaign. What do you make of that?
You know, I think this allowed Detroiters to show their real humanity and to show that we're not bigots. You know, I've been out now publicly for more than 5 years. And so, you know, it was old news, really. People knew already when I was a newscaster on the radio and on TV that I was gay. And, you know, and it allowed Detroiters to say, you know what, we know that, and we respect you, and now what are you going to do for the city? And so this was a, I feel like I was fully vetted, and that I was elected on my ideas and on my qualifications to do this job. And being gay did not hinder me in any way.
Do you think that it contradicts this conception or perception that has taken hold that African Americans are particularly resistant to openly gay candidates or leadership figures?
Yeah, I think it flies in the face of that. I was endorsed by two major religious organizations here in town. And they were very supportive of me. I got the support of some major pastors here in town, some pretty big mega churches. And I'm sure that there were individuals who were not comfortable with it, who don't understand why somebody would say that they're gay and asking somebody to vote for them. But this is a new day. This is a whole decade into the 21st century. And, you know, people who are qualified, who want to step up and serve the city should be allowed to.
And Santeel, the other irony here, of course, is that you and Mr. Pugh were both facing foreclosure of the properties that you owned, which is certainly, as we will discuss later in the program, not an uncommon phenomenon in the current era. But in some places, that would be considered disqualifying for mm-hmm. office. There are those who would mm-hmm. say, gee, if you can't handle your finances, you certainly can't handle the city's. Why do you think it wasn't a factor in your election? How do you think the voters addressed that question?
Well, I think the voters were asking, are you competent and qualified? Do you have integrity? And do you want to serve the people? And I believe that in this election, that was the main question. People wanted to know your stance on public policy and your qualifications to serve in office. With the condition that we're in, people just didn't have time to focus on personal attacks and personal issues, and the candidates themselves did not allow the election or the conversation to go in that direction.
Plus, the reality is, Michelle, we are facing one of the highest foreclosure rates in America. So mm-hmm. quite literally, there were thousands of people who understood the situation we were facing and did not and realized that they were good at their jobs as well and did not see that as a disqualifying factor for us.
Were you That's both great. Able to stabilize your situations, though? Were you both able to...
Yeah,
I guess I'm asking,
job.
How are you?
Yeah. I got elected.
You both got
well, yeah, because, but part of the issue with modifying the loans is that they won't allow you to modify the loan unless you're in default.
Right.
So it wasn't, at least, and I won't speak for you, Charles, mm-hmm. but for me, it wasn't an issue of the sheriffs are going to show up at your house. Mm-hmm. It was an issue of you're in a bad loan. How do you get out of it? And right. that's the only option given by the mortgage company.
And for me, I couldn't modify my loan unless I could prove income. And because I had to leave my jobs in journalism in order to run, and that the election wasn't in November, it wasn't until November, but I had to, you know, be out of work for about 8 months, and I couldn't prove income because my, you know, the company that I started, you know, wasn't enough to pay the bills, and so they would not allow me to modify the mortgage. But now I have provable income, and you know we are in the process of modifying the mortgage. And so I live in my home. I love my home, and I'm going to stay there.
And the other option would have been to just walk away, which would have been easier to do, but
absolutely.
I don't think either one of us wanted to do that. We wanted to be responsible.
Well, Santhil, final thought from you. Back in November, a new Washington Post Kaiser Family Foundation poll was published, and it talked about the attitudes that Detroit residents have about the area right now. And one of the things that I think struck a number of people was the sense of optimism that Detroiters have about the future, despite their the very real challenges that you face. But the other finding was that young adults are planning to leave. It said that more than 4 in 10 young adults say that they think they have to leave the area in order to find a future. And I'd just like to ask you, in just the minute or so that we have left, how do you address that?
Jobs. We have to bring more jobs here and diversify our economy in the city of Detroit. And if we offer people a way to build a career, they'll stay.
And I think that, too, making Detroit a cool city. And honestly, I think electing an openly gay man is part of the proof that we can be a cool city, that we can attract
cool city.
That we can attract people who are diverse and who can bring an interesting element to be able to make Detroit the place that we know it can be, that really it is in many ways, and now we're seeing it demonstrated publicly. But you know, we got to attract these millennials, and I'm very proud to say I have several of them on my staff who've gone to school around the country and all have moved back home and want to be part of this change.
That's right.
City Council President Charles Pugh, Council Member Santhil Jenkins were both kind enough to join us from WDET. It is their first day in office on the Detroit City Council. Thank you both so much for speaking with us. Happy New
Michelle,
Year.
Thank you so much for having us, Michelle.
I love you even more now.
Well, good luck to you both.
Which was hard to do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.